This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Energy Stoners Cafe. As usual, I bring the most interesting people I can find on the planet to present to you. And tonight I have another really interesting person, and I have questions for her because I've always been curious about the practice that she engages in. Her name is Laura DeToya. Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Laura DeToya. She's a Reiki 2 practitioner, and her company is called Merkaba Peace. I was saying Merkaba Peace, but maybe I'm being a little too romantic about it, but it sounds just like I said it. So, but she's going to talk about her practice, and I want to learn some things about Reiki. So, Laura, I told you that I'm somewhat familiar with Reiki, but I don't understand how it works and why it always works. Tell the audience a little bit about Reiki. Tell us what it actually is.
Reiki is basically life force energy. So we all have it. You know, if we're alive and we have energy, we all have energy, we have Reiki. We have the ability to do Reiki. All of us can do it. When I was first being trained, people from all walks of life were there, you know, in my class. And my teacher said that anybody was welcome. They didn't have to have a special type of healing talent or anything like that. Like John, you know, who from Persephone Pearl, who I work with, says some people are born with a talent for healing. And I believe that's true. But for Reiki purposes, we all have it. So somebody explained to me recently, because I'm still always learning myself about it. Somebody explained to me that when a mother has a baby, and she cuddles with her baby, she automatically has this life force energy. And that's what like heats up the baby and warms the baby. And so she has that energy in her. But it's only when she's with the baby that she would have that energy. So with me, for instance, I was attuned to Reiki 1 and 2 by a teacher. And my teacher's name is Shima Shive, and she works out of Universal Healing Arts in Cortland Manor. And she just finished teaching a Reiki class. She's teaching another Reiki class coming up because so many people want to do this now. This is a great time to start spreading the love, the unconditional love of Reiki, because that's what it's about. It's about unconditional love. And spreading it around. And what happens with Reiki is it's a hands-on healing. It's a Japanese alternative medicine. And it's a spiritual healing. We learn when we get attuned by our teacher, which is called a master. Our teacher would be called a Reiki master. They attune us, and then we learn certain symbols. And we learn 3 specific symbols when we first learn how to do Reiki. And one, you know, I can't really tell you what the symbols are because they're secret.
Oh.
They're confidential. but
I want to know.
One symbol is, I can tell you what it's called, but I can't tell you like what it looks like. But you've probably seen it because a lot of people make jewelry out of the symbols, and you know, it's on the internet. You can probably Google the symbols, but one of the symbols is called the empowerment symbol. And the empowerment symbol, you could use it any time of day or night. You could use it, we use it when we do Reiki, but my teacher says she even uses it when she's driving, like she might envision the symbol when she's driving, like through a green light or whatever, just to protect. It's really for protection, the empowerment symbol. So we use that when we're doing Reiki. We want to protect the person that we're healing. And then there's another symbol. And, you know, again, all these symbols have names, Japanese names. And the other symbol kind of opens up the cells of the body. And it helps the Reiki heat, the energy, life force energy, it helps it go to the area of the body that needs it the most. So if I'm having a backache, I will tell, you know, I will do the symbols, and then the energy will go to the back. You know, I don't necessarily even have to have my hands on the person's back. The energy just knows where to go.
That's so fascinating.
And it is fascinating. And I'm learning more and more as I do, you know, Reiki on people. And like I said, I'm doing it at Persephone Pearl in Peekskill on Main Street. But I also do it. Merkaba Peace is my own. It's, and you were right. It's either Merkaba or Merkaba. You can say either one.
Okay.
It's my own business that I started. I have my own table and I go to people's houses and I have my website with, you know, all my information. And at the end of the month, I'm doing the fair, the Awakened Wellness Fair.
That's an annual, I understand.
Right, the annual fair. They haven't had that fair in a while because of the COVID, because of the pandemic. But this is the first time we're going to be in person since before the pandemic. We're going to be in Tarrytown at the Sleepy Hollow Convention Center on November 21st. Say that's where I'm going to do like my own like practice, you know, like for my own business. I'm not going to be working for John from Purchase. You know, Persephone Pearl, I'm going to be working for myself.
It's interesting to me, and it's also something that I'm curious about, is considering that I feel that there is a lot of, I'm going to use the word distress in lieu of using the word pain, okay? There's a lot of distress in the world right now, and I can't help wondering if Reiki could be a contributing factor to trying to heal this, to remedy it, heal it, or help it somehow.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you say, because I do talk to people that come into the shop and I tell them that if they're going through any kind of stress with either the pandemic, which I think everybody kind of experienced some kind of stress with the pandemic, or any type of stress like the personal, people come in a lot with personal relationship stress, which actually could also have been because of pandemic issues, you know, pandemic put stress on people's personal relationships. But, you know, the pandemic is actually an interesting thing, because a lot of people told me when I first went into business, and I just went into business during the pandemic.
Wow.
Like that's when I started the business. So people told me that I was crazy pretty much to go into business during the pandemic to do a hands-on healing when people didn't, you know, maybe didn't want people's hands on them during the pandemic, you know, because of COVID problems and stuff like that. But you wouldn't believe how many customers I've had during, now we're still in the pandemic, and they don't mind, every single one of them doesn't mind me putting my hands on them. And I don't have to put my hands on them either. I could do hands on or hands off. And hands off means that I just hover my hand over the person's body. I don't touch them. But everybody wants me to do hands on. So it's interesting. And my teacher had said when I first started the business, she's like, you might not get that many customers because of COVID. And then somebody else had said to me, you know what, just do it, just go for it. And I did. And it seems to be, and I met John, and then, you know, my business seems to be taking off. I just got an email from somebody today. They met me at a fair, at a harvest festival, and they're pregnant. And because they're pregnant, they think they need more healing.
Okay.
You know, for the baby too, because now, you know, when you do a pregnant person, you're healing two people.
Yeah. Yeah. At least maybe more.
Right. So she wants to come back and get more Reiki done.
That's beautiful. I've experienced it. Maybe you can explain this to me. This is why I find it fascinating. I don't think, there's two reasons. I'm going to bring up two things. One thing I know about, I have my late husband, you know, unfortunately, his cancer was his demise, but part of his treatment, and this is in the regular medical community, part of his treatment was to get Reiki, have Reiki sessions. And so he experienced Reiki just to help him to feel better. And he did express that it did make him feel better. Now, it seems that the mainstream medical community is accepting Reiki as a legitimate practice.
They are. And I had contacted a bunch of hospitals that are in my area, that are in our area. And a lot of them... Well, because of COVID, that was the only reason why they couldn't have me come in, was because of COVID. But if it wasn't a pandemic issue, I would have been able to go in and help out. But I know a couple of Reiki practitioners that go into Northern Westchester Hospital, and they do a lot of work with the cancer patients. Now, Reiki, we always say the disclaimer is that we're not doctors. We can't diagnose you. And really, I don't know for sure if it's ever been proven that we've healed anyone from cancer specifically. Like, I have a friend that has cancer right now, and I didn't even, you know, I didn't push it with her. I didn't say, oh, let me do Reiki on it. You know, it could it calm her down and relax her and put her at ease? Yes, definitely. But can we cure the cancer or remove the cancer? That, you know, is a mystery. But more hospitals and doctors and a lot of nurses. I went to the doctor myself the other day, and the nurse said that she had her Reiki master, because a lot of nurses will get their Reiki license certificate so they can do both.
That's interesting too.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I think it's a beautiful thing. And I can say also, and I'm saying this very honestly, is I've experienced it from a distance where there are people that are Reiki masters that can, I call it throwing the Reiki, and they could be on the other side of the world and they'll throw the Reiki at you because, you know, you might be on the phone with them and you say, oh God, I got this bad toothache. And they'll ask you exactly where it is, which tooth is it? And then a couple of hours later, no more pain.
I'm going to tell you something that's been, I mean, you know, I'm sure I'm going to have a lot more stories as I do this, but I have a few stories because I've been doing it for a little bit. But I was throwing Reiki, like you call it. We don't call it that, but we call it, our formal way of saying it is doing long distance Reiki. So we do long distance Reiki on people that we just can't get in touch with, like, or that we can't touch. So my cousin was in a nursing home, and first she was in the hospital, and then she went in the nursing home, and she had COVID, and she had COVID for 100 days in the hospital, and then she had it for several months in the rehab. And so we were not allowed in. The Reiki practitioners were not allowed in. I wasn't allowed even as her cousin. So we did long distance Reiki. And how you do long distance Reiki, or how I do it, is I look at a picture of the person. And I did this with my dad when he was in the nursing home. I have a picture of my dad, and I put a crystal, a healing crystal, next to the picture. Mm-hmm. And then we do what I didn't tell you was the third symbol that we learned is the long distance symbol. So the long distance symbol is done, you know, when the person's on the other side of the world, or the person's, you know, maybe they're in the hospital and you're not allowed to go in, or, you know, whatever the situation is. Or the long distance, I think that symbol is probably used a lot during COVID, because a lot of people were doing Reiki over Zoom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was told when I first started, somebody said, why don't you start doing it over Zoom? And then you can do the long distance symbol. And I actually didn't choose that route with the Zoom, but I just went directly to in person. But whenever somebody is sick, like I have a friend who's sick in Arizona, I do long distance. You know, I just look at her picture and do the long distance. So that's what you probably think we do when we throw the Reiki at you or whatever. It's really called long distance Reiki.
Long distance Reiki.
The other thing about Reiki that I really just found out is that I don't even have to be touching. Like I said, I don't have to be touching you, but sometimes, like, this is a very rare thing, but this happened recently where I was just standing next to somebody. And I wasn't doing anything. I was just standing next to a woman and she had a headache. And then she said she felt the heat of my body somehow coming onto her body and the headache went away.
That's incredible.
It was really weird.
I just have to tell you that I experienced two things. There was another problem I had. It just was so random. I've met Reiki masters, people, Reiki practitioners, sort of sporadically over the course of my life, and I'd say the past, you know, couple of three decades, I'll say. And it amazes me how it seems that I used to think of they really care. That's why I feel better, you know?
Right.
But then I realized when I had like some specific things that I needed some help with, you know, physically, and to experience like that's like amazing what's the word I want to use? This amazing sudden healing. That's the only way I can say it. It's like sudden healing from someone that is like in California. You know,
right,
in another
right.
case, it was a gentleman who was in Rockland County, which is on the other side of the river. And it just amazed me that he could make my toothache stop hurting. And exactly when he said it would stop, he said, I'm going to do it at this time. And he asked me to do something, but I don't remember what it was. But whatever it was just fascinating. And I was grateful. I was so grateful because I had no pain so I could get to the dentist. You know, because you can't get an appointment right away. Go to your Reiki master. They'll take care of it for you until you get
right,
an appointment.
Right.
You know, go figure, right? Who knows? I think that it's an interesting practice. And I'm wondering, is it imperative that the person who's actually on the receiving end be receptive to that? Do they have to believe in it? Because a lot of people just say, oh, it's just a lot of hocus pocus. It's not real. I've seen it work for other people. I saw it work for my husband. I mean, it didn't cure his cancer, but it certainly made him a lot more comfortable.
Well, you don't have to believe in it because we've done, and when I say we, I mean myself, my teacher, and other people that I know, students of my teacher, we have told stories about how we have done Reiki on people that were skeptics. And I did Reiki. One of the first people I did Reiki on was a skeptic. And sure enough, it was probably one of the most powerful experiences because his shoulder it wasn't dislocated, but it was he was in a lot of pain with his shoulder. And I think he had surgery, like the shoulder surgery or whatever on his. And I remember when I did the Reiki on his shoulder, the heat from my hands was so hot, but the heat from his shoulder was also very hot. I mean, I remember the heat was like really, really on fire. And I believe that regardless of whether he was a skeptic, because then after that, he was not a skeptic because he couldn't believe, he even felt it. He couldn't believe the heat that was coming from his shoulder.
It's not like a burning heat. It's not like you're being burned. It's like a glowing.
It's not a burning heat, but what it feels like is if you have a heating pad, if you put a heating pad on part of your body, that's what people say it feels like. Now, sometimes I can't always feel the heat coming from my hands. I don't feel my own heat. Sometimes I do. You know, sometimes I can feel it myself. Or what I feel really is more of a tingling feeling in my hands, like pins and needles almost in my hands. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as, like I said, the skeptics, all they have to do is be willing to, you know, to receive and give us permission to do it. And whether they believe it or not, usually after they're done, they feel something has changed in their body. I mean, unless they're not being honest about it, but as long as they're being honest about it, they say, oh, you know, I felt this or I felt that. And then it changes their ideas about it.
You mentioned crystals in the beginning. Do you use crystals in your practice as a Reiki practitioner?
Well, I use a pendulum, mm-hmm. and I use aromatherapy.
Okay, tell me how you use them.
So how I use it is I always ask the person a couple of questions. I'll ask them, do you want to be touched? You know, do you mind being touched? And then I'll ask them, do you have any allergies, you know, with any kind of like aroma therapy? And then I'll ask them, is it okay if I use lavender? I always use lavender because lavender is an aroma therapy that really calms people down.
Yes, it does.
When I was even having problems going to sleep, it makes you pretty much, you know, go to sleep. It really either relaxes you to the point where you're just totally not sleeping, but almost sleeping, mm-hmm. or it puts people to sleep.
Do you use like the actual lavender leaves, or do you prefer the, what do they call it? The misters that they have that you can get?
I just use the oil.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I just use a little bottle of oil and I put it on their forehead.
Oh, okay. It's that simple.
And I was telling somebody recently that although a lot of people I know have never done Reiki on a baby, I did Reiki on a baby.
Oh, really? How did the baby like it? Did the baby like it?
The baby liked it. And I even put lavender on her. You know, I asked her mother, is she allergic to anything? And she said no. And I put the lavender on her forehead. And she seemed to have liked it, you know, and she slept through the whole entire thing. You know, I think she was in good spirits when she woke up, but it was really interesting doing the baby. But getting back to like whether or not I use crystals, I think I want to start using crystals. You know, in Zone 4, we sell a lot of different crystals. When I first started doing Reiki, I would have the person hold a quartz or an amethyst crystal in their hand while I was doing the Reiki. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I might use crystals, but most of the time I don't, you know, most of the time I don't. I know someone who actually has underneath her massage table or the Reiki table, she has an entire like grid of amethyst crystals.
Wow. Now that's got to be so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can feel the energy from the crystals coming through the bottom of the bed. You know, it's amazing.
Now people, a lot of people, I'm just going to share with the audience, there might be some people that aren't really familiar with crystals and crystal energy and energy stone energy. I'm familiar with it. I can just tell one story. One time I had a bag full of crystals I had just received, you know, that I had ordered, and it had a lot of them. There must have been like 3 pounds of crystals in a bag, had it in my purse, went through the store, left the store, and the energy from the crystals set off the alarm in the store.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't get a risk. It almost as if I was walking out and had shoplifted, but you know, there was nothing that I had shoplifted, but I had this bag of heavy crystals, and it was mostly clear quartz. I'm trying to remember, clear quartz, fluorite, and some other kind of stone I had with me that was in this bag, but they were pretty, it was a heavy bag of stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So just to sort of not prove, but sort of demonstrate the power of crystals, so much so that it could set off an electronic situation in the store, you know? But I think that's interesting that you're thinking about incorporating crystals. And I think that I know that you practice at Persephone Pearl, as well as you do some private work as well. So you said that you go to people's homes.
Yes.
So usually what are the circumstances? I find that a lot of people in a certain generation have a lot of physical pain, you know, with the arthritis generation, you know, you get to a certain point in your, and some people always have it. I think about people that have like rheumatoid arthritis. I know people in my own family that suffered from rheumatoid arthritis, and if they could get some relief that's without the medication, that would be wonderful if they were still here.
Well, I did, you know, do Reiki on someone who did have some kind of arthritis in their leg. She was another one who was a little skeptical at first, but I remember I only did Reiki on her one time, and she was at first walking with a limp, and then when she got off the table, she was not walking.
Oh.
It was pretty, I'm not making this up. I mean, this is all real stuff. And, you know, I can honestly say that, you know, there was the woman that I did Reiki on who had a thyroid condition, but she had a thyroid issue where she had a lump on her thyroid, like some kind of a growth on the thyroid. And in that case, could we have shrunk the growth? Maybe we could have, or I could have, but she eventually had to get it removed.
Yeah, that's too bad. A lot of people have those, you know, they say people have like all kinds of things growing on inside them on the inside that you don't even know about.
Right.
I could have given her a stone necklace for that. I'm just saying.
Right.
That's why I was curious as to whether you were thinking about working with crystals. Being at Persephone Pearl, they definitely have those beautiful specimens in the store.
Right. And, you know, I mean, if somebody is having an issue, what happened was I did Reiki on a girl who was having an issue with self-love. She had just gotten out of a relationship. And I often have girls, so many people coming in that are coming out of a relationship. And the first time I ever had Reiki done to me, I was coming out of a relationship. So,
oh, that's that guy from 5 years ago. Just kidding.
No, it was before that. It was like 7 years ago. So what happened was the girl was having issues with self-love. So after the session was over, I said, why don't you go pick a rose quartz and see if John's father can, because John's father is the person that wires all of the crystals and makes necklaces out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he always has somebody pick the crystal that they want. They pay for it ahead of time. And then he makes the necklace and then they come back and pick it up. And so that's what she did. She picked a rose quartz neck, you know, for the necklace. And so if I can help with things like that, suggesting a crystal like after a Reiki healing is done, you know, for them to just buy, maybe they need to meditate with it, things like that, then, you know, I could work with crystals that way.
Yeah, crystals they're very powerful. The energy in them, I find very powerful. So you could probably advise them on a, do you know, enough about stones to know which one would be good for them?
Well, I don't know everything about every stone that we have in the store, because like sometimes people might say, well, what is this stone? What is that stone? You know, and I don't know every single stone. And we do have a book in the store, and I have several books at home that explain what each crystal is for. But there's certain crystals that I think everybody just kind of knows, you know, rose quartz is for love and amethyst could be for healing, but it could be for addiction, you know, problems and things like that. And clear quartz, everybody, you know, loves, because that's like the main stone for healing and clarity and things like
that. And amplification.
Amplification. And then we have selenite in the store. And, you know, that charges the other crystals. And we have lapis and we have blue agate. So that's for the throat chakra. And lapis could also be for your third eye.
Very popular stone.
As I'm going through the chakras, and that's something I didn't say, is as I'm doing the healing, I'm going through the chakras to make sure that all the chakras are unblocked. So if there's a blockage, I'm going to try to unblock that blockage. And then if there's a real problem, like say the woman who had the thyroid problem, I would suggest a stone, you know, that is for the throat chakra.
And you would do Reiki on her as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So mainly it's the Reiki. So anything else would be more of a supplement to that, I imagine.
Right.
Okay. So I think that this is good to know. I mean, I'm convinced because I've experienced it. And a lot of people don't understand. So I find that sometimes when people don't understand things that don't sort of fit into their regular realm of belief or in their belief system, it might be somewhat hard to convince them. But by the time they get to you, there has to be some kind of a belief thing happening already. By the time they're calling you, they've either exhausted every other alternative or somebody's explained to them how valuable it is.
Right.
Do you give classes in this yourself?
Do I give classes or do I take classes?
Both, but both questions.
So what I do is, as a practitioner who learned how to do this like 4 or 5 years ago, I always go for a refresher. So every now and then my teacher gives a refresher class. And then every now and then she does a couple of things. She gives a refresher class, which basically has new students and returning students. And then she does a Reiki circle. And that's all the people everybody who's welcome to the Reiki circle are people that she has attuned. So that gives me more practice.
What do you mean when you say attuned?
An attunement is something that a Reiki master does to a person. And it's not anything weird. It's just, it's a special ceremony where you're taken into a room alone with your master. And she does things to your body with symbols that she uses. She uses the master symbol, which I don't have the master symbol yet because I'm not a master yet, but she uses the master symbol. She basically does Reiki on you, mm-hmm. but in a certain way that only masters do. And she attunes you with the life force energy that comes from the original Japanese Reiki masters. My master is in the same family line as the original masters, the original 22.
Wow.
From Japan. Yeah. So she kind of like does different things where she might blow in our mouth or blow in our face or blow, you know, like two different symbols, different hands. Symbols. We keep our eyes closed. She calls in spirits. She plays music in the background. You know, it's a whole big thing, and she has to do it to every single person she attunes. So when I get my master, I'll do that to people. So the other part of the question was, do I give classes? And I'm only going to give classes when I get my master.
I gotcha. Okay. I was just curious about that.
Yeah. I would love to teach people how to do Reiki, but I can't teach them until I get my master, because then that's when I'll attune people.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a really, you know, healing endeavor. And I'm glad there are people like you around doing this. And I hope that people will become more open-minded to the alternative. You know, I'm finding, maybe you have too, people are becoming more accepting of alternative practices for wellness, for healing. The world is changing, which is why I had asked you about the collective. And I think I said this in the last interview, I think every little thing that you do that helps the planet, even if it's one person, or even an animal, it really affects us in the collective.
Yes.
And I think that that's the way I feel, that most people are more powerful, you know, for the good than they realize. You know, you don't really know exactly who you're touching every day, you know, that way.
Right.
You know, and it almost seems that the spiritual is becoming more, I'd say, tangible than the concrete, you know? At least that's the way I see it.
Right. And the other thing that's happening is, as I'm doing the healing, I'm getting healed. And I'm just the channel. I'm just the vessel. Like, I'm not an all-powerful person. It's just that I've been chosen, I feel, by, like, the word Reiki means, the word Rei means God's wisdom, and Ki means life force energy. So it's a life force energy that comes from spirit. So I feel like I've been chosen by spirit to pass this on to people. But then now we have a Reiki circle every Monday at Persephone's Pearl at 4:30. And all are welcome. So meaning people who are tuned are coming and people who are not attuned are coming. And the people that are attuned are doing Reiki in a circle with the people that are not attuned. So that's another thing that we're like getting the community together and we're spreading this around.
Well, imagine a whole community that's been attuned to Reiki and a whole community that's engaged in a beautiful practice such as this. And I can see that I see it as a boomerang effect. And with that in mind, I'm going to invite you to come back and talk to us again, because the world is changing every day and people's needs change. And I think that what you're doing is really helpful to the community. I think that Reiki is helpful to the global community. And I thank you so much, Laura, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'll remind the audience that there's a Reiki circle every Monday at 4 o'clock at Persephone Pearl in Peekskill, New York at 1014 Main Street, Peekskill, New York, every Monday evening at 4:30, correct?
Yes.
For a Reiki circle. What is your website so people can get your website?
Okay, my website is Merkaba, MERKABA, peace, PEACE .com.
So go there and check it out, everybody. And I'm going to just say goodnight to you, Laura, and this beautiful new moon Wednesday. This is a new moon. That's why it's so dark outside. And I'm going to say goodnight to the audience on this beautiful new moon Wednesday. And go in peace and be healthy, be nice, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.